Our second scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. I'm a broken vessel. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, I ask that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me. They might hear you and not me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, sold out for Christ. Sold out for Christ. I want you to take this journey with me as we take a look at the life of John the Baptist, who was an incredible prophet on the scene. But I came across this story I wanted to share with you. It's about King Henry IV. And he was out with his men and they were hunting. And evening came and he decided that he wanted to go home by a longer route. So he told his men to take the shortest path to go home, but he wanted to spend some more time just riding home. But along his path, he noticed this little boy. He noticed that the little boy was waiting for someone or something. And he decided to engage the little boy. So he went over and he says, "Hi," he says, "are you waiting for someone, perhaps your dad?" The little boy says, "No, I'm waiting to see the king. I've been waiting all day. I want to see the king." So King Henry IV says, "Well, I can help you with that. If you just hop on the back of my horse, I'll take you directly to him." So the little boy was excited. You could imagine he's going to see the king. So as they're going along, he said, "Sir, I've never seen the king before. How will I know that it's the king?" King Henry IV said, "Oh, that's easy." He says, "When the king approaches his subjects, they'll take their hats off and they will bow. And the only person wearing the hat will be the king." So the little boy says, "Okay." So the king decided to change his path and to go back to the direction that he told his men to go. And as he approached them, they all took their hats off and they began to bow. So the king said to the little boy, "Now who's king?" And the little boy said, "It must be you and me. We're the only ones with our hats on." Have you ever seen a celebrity? Anybody? And you know, you get this excitement, you want to see your celebrity, that person. Well, this is what it was like in John's day. John was sold out for Christ, and no one had seen a man sold out for God like this. Here's one of the things that I noticed as I was studying for this particular passage. That heaven was silent for 400 years. So from the prophet Malachi to John the Baptist, God was silent. He hadn't spoken through any other prophet for 4 centuries. Could you imagine? If God was silent in my life, I can't even imagine it. But he was silent for 400 years. And all we have is what the prophet Isaiah said. There'll be one voice crying in the wilderness, and his purpose is to prepare the way of the Lord. All we have is what Malachi said. He says, "Behold, I shall send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way for the coming king." So no more silence. To the center stage come John the Baptist, looking like the prophet Elijah, with his rough camel hair garment and leather belt. John is the first prophet to speak in 4 centuries. He was strong, courageous, confident in his mission, confident that God would be with him. His message came loud and clear: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Let me digress for a moment and take you back. John's birth was also a miracle. His mother and his father was well and aged. The story goes that Zechariah, his father, who was a priest, was in the temple and he was burning incense. And he was startled because he saw an angel. He was probably more surprised what the angel had to say. The angel told him that Elizabeth, his wife, would bear a son and that they were to name him John. Zechariah says, "How could this be? For I'm old. My wife is old. How can this be?" And the angel, Gabriel, told him. He said, "You won't speak another word until your son is born." And of course, it happened just as the angel said. How could this be? He doubted. Doubt is real, amen? Sometimes the problem with doubt is that it can be persistent. Doubting can be the antithesis of trust. Doubting, I believe, is when we take our eyes off God and we focus on the situation or the circumstances more than we believe the power of God. That's when we begin to doubt. Perhaps Zechariah was disillusioned. He had prayed about having a child probably most of his married life, and it didn't happen. It didn't materialize. Elizabeth was still barren. He still had no children. And now the angel Gabriel shows up and says, "You're going to have a child." Can I just go natural with you? He probably said, man, please, I prayed that prayer. I'm done with that. Anybody ever been there? You pray for something, you pray hard, you pray earnestly, and it doesn't happen. That's where Zechariah was. But here's the problem sometimes. We pray for something. We want God to answer our prayers. And we don't say, stay open, sensitive in the spirit. Because when God does show up to answer our prayers, we don't even believe it's God. Hello. Joshua, I didn't get any amens. Can I get an amen on that? All right, man. Thank you so much. And this is what happened to Zechariah. Perhaps through this Advent season, maybe we'll stay open. And maybe we'll keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? My friends, I love this scripture. And what I need you to know that in John's day, the priests were corrupt. Everyone had turned to their own way of doing it. If it feels good, we might as well do it. Everybody else is doing it, so we might as well do it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sounds a little bit like the world we live in, doesn't it? This is my life, and I'll do what I want to do. And this is what happened in John's day. But my friend, they had never met someone sold out for Christ. You see, when John came, he didn't preach in the temple. He didn't have on a clergy collar. John didn't care how he looked. He just wanted to do the will of God. He just wanted to preach that message that God had given him. He wanted to live out his purpose. Scripture says that they came from all of Judea, all of Jordan, and around the region just to see a man who was sold out for Christ. They walked 10, 20, 30 miles just to see a man who was sold out for God. And when they got there, it wasn't in the Billy Graham Stadium. Hello. He baptized them in the Jordan. And his message was simple. Repent. Repent. And the Greek is the word, the Greek word is metanoia. And it means to change your mind, to change your heart. It's the same thing that the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. John the Baptist says you got to change. You want to see the kingdom of God? You've got to change. How many of you know that God's way is the best way? John was saying, no more of this. You're going to do it your way. You can't please God by trying to do it your way. John is saying, you got to trust him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your might. I came across this story, and the young man's name is John, so I'm going to call him John X so we don't get John the Baptist confused with John X. Are you with me? So John X is in college, and he met the woman who would be his wife. Her name is Susan. And they had gone to church together. And John thought, I'm okay. I'm fine. I've gone to church. I was baptized. And You know, I'm a good person, whatever that means. And the only reason why I say that is Jesus says that there's none good but the Father. He didn't even call himself good. He said only the Father. So when we say that we're good, I don't really know what that means. But let's say that John thought that he's a decent person. And his soon-to-be wife, she says to him, she says, John, we have a problem. There's two ways of looking at this. She says, when I see myself being a Christian and a follower of Christ, I got to give him everything. I got to give him my heart. Got to give him my soul, my strength, and my mind. She said, but when I see you, she says, I feel like you're just going through the motions of your faith. Have you ever gone through the motions? I can come to church, pay my tithe, give my money, punch my card, and say I've been to church and I'm out. But what's really going on the inside? Amen? So she read some scriptures to John X. And he's a man, you know, he's not going to say it meant anything to him because that's what we do as men, don't we, men? Our wives can tell us something, and we know it's the thing that we need to do, but we won't do it, will we? At least I'm honest, sweetheart. I'm the only one in here right now. Isn't that weird? But then our friends can come along and tell us the same thing that our wives told us, and we go, man, that's a great idea. Well, sweetheart, I'm not asking for anything. I just wanted to be honest. That's all. So John, he's at home and he's reading those scriptures that Susan gave to him. And it pricked his heart. And here's what John said. John said, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. Maybe I need to talk to God about this sin stuff in my life. And maybe I need to get right with God. Here was John's prayer. Lord, I want to know you better. And I believe that you died for me. I believe that you made a way for me. And I want to trust that way for my life. Lord, come into my life and become Lord for me. Listen, there was no bells rang, no one blew a whistle. But he was changed. He was changed in that moment. And this is what John was talking about when he told the people to repent. Confess it. Confess your sins is what John was saying. Now, I heard somebody say that confession is good for the soul, but it's bad for your reputation. I don't know. Anybody else heard that? But it is good for the soul. It is good when we can realize that if I'm to get a little closer to God, maybe I need to move this. Maybe I need to spend some more time in prayer. Maybe I need to fast to get there. You see, John was telling the people, you got to prepare your hearts for the coming of Christ. That's what heaven is about. Got to wait on him. But we got to do our part. We need to confess it so that God can come in and show us the areas that we need to work on. Listen, I'm not looking in anybody's life. I got enough stuff in my own life, enough junk in my own trunk. Are you with me? So this is about us looking at ourselves and examining ourselves and saying, what else do I need to give to you, Lord? What do I need to move out of the way so that I can make room for you? Being sold out for Christ, what does that mean? I think it's a willful desire to give God its proper place in our lives. Amen? Are you willing to give God that proper place in your life? Where your heart is, there's your treasure. That's what the scripture says. Where we spend our time, that's our treasure. Can we give it to God? Oh, this is a great message from John that says, prepare your hearts. And so as Daniel prays for us this morning, I want you to close your eyes and take the hand of the person next to you. And if there's something that you need to confess, just a little talk with him makes it all right, amen? Tell God what you need to tell God.
Let us bow our heads. Dear merciful and loving God, we come before you today praising your name with smiles on our faces and joy in our hearts that we are 1 week closer to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come before you today with songs of great anticipation. O come, Emmanuel. These songs are building us up for the day in which you, O God, come to us in a form of a baby that is Jesus Christ. Let us remember those who have nothing this day. Let us remember those who hunger for food, but also hunger for you. There are many among us and throughout the world that need to hear the comforting word of your presence, for they hurt at the sight of violence, pain, and struggle that is happening in our world. The events of San Bernardino, for the 23 dead in Russia, and for all other violent and death-filled conflicts all over the world, our prayers are lifted up. As your scripture said today, let us prepare our hearts for your coming, that all those who are hurting may be comforted through us by you. O God, you sent your messenger to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Make ready our hearts for the brightness of your glory. Make us the embodiment of your righteousness in this world. And grant us that we may ever be found in the watch for the coming of your Son. For just as the disciples waited for the resurrected Christ, we wait. Now let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his own, and also the prayer that gave them comfort. Our Father, who art in heaven,